little louder on the music, Rich.
There we go.
Welcome back, my friends, to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today. Be sure to stock up on some more of the purple stick cans. I got more and more coming in. I got a small batch coming in that's almost out now. I got more coming in later on next week. So be sure to stay stocked up on them.
We're almost out of the cans again.
Well, I got a partial order on the first one. The collagen, we got a big chunk of it shipped out yesterday, and more of it's going to be shipping out probably Monday. We got another pallet coming in to fill everything out. So be sure to stay on top of that. If you want to pre-order it, you can right now. It's on sale for a short period of time. Once we get all of the inventory in and finalized, it will no longer be on sale anymore. So that's just an update if you want to, or you can wait. However, if you do order right now, understand it will be delayed probably like 3 to 5 business days while we're getting all the orders processed and shipped out. So it won't be as quick as it normally is with us, but you'll still get it, and you'll get it on sale, and you get it pretty quick. We still have fast shipping.
What happens if they order the priority shipping?
We cancel that out.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to fill that. I'm not going to charge anybody for that right now because I have it right on here. Pre-sale prices delay your entire order until it's ready to ship.
Okay.
So if you order with VIP, I'm just going to give you your money back on it, quite frankly. But nobody's done Express because they already know it's a pre-sale. But on all the other orders, all the other products, everything else we have in stock, if you want to express shipping and get it priority mail, not priority mail, now you got to be saying priority mail, VIP Express, which is ground, usually next day air, second day air, that is all available on everything. But if you order this, it will delay your whole order for about 3 to 5 days, so be aware of that. And now in the first orders were the first shows, topics I wanted to cover here. It says more parents are seeking vaccine-friendly pediatricians who will just simply answer their questions.
Imagine that.
They says Dr. Villarreal, a Texas primary care doctor who's been treating children for over 14 years, said his practice grew significantly after the COVID-19 pandemic. He said it woke up a lot of parents. They will not just simply comply anymore. He warned that pediatricians who refuse to treat children whose parents won't vaccinate are going to make themselves extinct. Strong statement. Hope he's right, quite frankly.
Say that again. I missed that.
Dr. Villarreal out of Texas.
What's his quote?
His practice blew up after COVID-19, figuratively. Mm-hmm. He said it woke up a lot of parents and they will simply not comply. He said pediatricians who refuse to treat children whose parents won't vaccinate are going to make themselves extinct.
Oh, so the pediatricians are going to go out of business who won't.
The ones that won't work with.
I hope he's right.
I hope he's right, too. They won't work with families and basically parents. And he said, my clinic's been growing, increasingly more and more parents who want to have a choice as far as what they want to do with vaccines. He goes, pediatricians are putting themselves out of business if they continue with this, doing it right now the way I say. When they say, well, you're not going to vaccinate, then bye-bye. You can't be a part of my clinic. They're going to make themselves extinct. And I really hope he's right. I am so over hearing about that. Personally dealt with it firsthand, have dealt with it with many customers and friends, and quite frankly, he's right. Everybody I know that actually is vernünftig, in German means smart, brilliant, actually has their head together. Pediatrician does that to you, I will never step my foot back in their door again. Doctor does that to me, will not speak to them ever again, will not associate with them, will not recommend them at all. Because as far as I'm concerned, anybody that tells you you have to do this to your child's body right now, you have to do a medical operation, injecting them with multiple shots, including an RNA gene therapy shot right now, or I will not see you anymore. No.
Boy, the arrogance.
The arrogance.
Well, it's the Blue Cross Blue Shield money.
Well, yeah. They got up to half a million a year in bonuses
for full vaccination.
Yeah. And he goes on to say here, he said, you know, essentially terms for pediatricians who allow parents to delay or skip childhood vaccines, they're calling them either vaccine friendly, vaccine neutral, or not non-vax friendly. This is new terms now. They're calling them, as far as I guess in the pediatrician world now.
The thing that was interesting is the pediatricians didn't make a lot of money 50, 60 years ago. They really didn't, because they didn't, well, actually longer than that now, but back in the 60 years ago. And they didn't have the ability to bring the parents back in, back in, back in, back in, back in all the time.
Well,
the
healthy vaccine. Kids didn't make pediatricians money.
Well, no, people always said to me, you know, well, you don't take your kids in to have being checked by a pediatrician. My response was always no. And
why?
And I said, why am I going to take a healthy child to a pediatrician with a bunch of sick kids in the waiting
every
room?
Every 3 months.
And every 3 months, my kids get sick from somebody else's germs.
And they get injected.
And then inject them with something to lower their immune system. And I mean, we had a really good doctor that we do for years and years. I'm not going to mention any names. He passed away. And then he sold his clinic to a Muslim. And, you know, I no longer go there because, I mean, I just didn't get along with the individual. And it was just something that – and then she was running around with this doggone COVID mask on and this face shield on. And like she's in a hazmat suit.
And it wasn't because she's Muslim. I will not associate with her at all. I went one time, and I would never step foot again in the door. The way I was treated, the arrogance, the hubris, the ability that some physicians forget who's actually paying their bills.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. When I'm coming in, I don't have insurance because I haven't had insurance in years. Everything I do is cash pay. I'll negotiate with if you want, whatever the price is. But I didn't even argue with them. We had a price. We talked. She treated me unbelievably disrespectful. I was extremely very open, but I was very respectful on my end, and I did not get the same treatment back. And I decided that I would no longer be associated with them.
Well,
whatsoever.
She even hit me up with, are you carrying a gun?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that one really got me.
And there's no sign on the door that says that no concealed weapons, nothing.
And, by the way, and he wasn't open carrying or brandishing. Mm-hmm. He was concealed carrying, and apparently somebody who worked there before told her that he concealed carry, which is it's legal to do in Florida.
Polk County.
And if it's not posted, you can pretty much carry anywhere, even on private property. Now, if they ask you to leave and you're carrying a firearm, that's a different story. But if there's nothing posted and you're carrying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she made a big deal about that. Let me ask you a question about that law. You know, that we can open carry in Florida now.
Correct.
Can we concealed carry in Florida now without a permit?
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that actually was before. Okay. That was the first act that got passed. It was permitless carry. So you could carry without a permit concealed. Now you can carry without a permit concealed or non-concealed.
Well, the only thing the permit does now for Florida is it allows you to be reciprocal with other states.
Correct. And it also, too, if you go to the gun store, you don't have to deal with the enormous amount of wait time. And you basically fill out a 4471 background check form, and you can take the gun.
I bought a really nice Colt M4 the other day.
Yeah, you did. You got a good deal on it.
And it was at a pawn shop. I was at the pawn shop looking for DVDs. And if you have a DVD collection you no longer want to use, send it to me. I'll use it. And
this man's got more DVDs than anything. I mean, he's got a whole room of DVDs.
I love it. And so
you know what's crazy? Before I cut you off on that, it's crazy to me when I've gone through his collection how many movies I forgot existed from the 90s and 2000s that were really good films that are funny. You never hear about, streaming.
You don't see them on Netflix.
Certain films that are just gone.
I watched The War Wagon last night with John Wayne.
The War Wagon? That's that armored wagon, and then they call them the doggone Gatling guns. And that's a wild movie.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
The War Wagon. Yeah. I haven't seen that in a while.
By the way, U.S. fertility. I really did. U.S. fertility rates dropped to another record low. The fertility rate has been falling in the United States since 2007, in large part because of a plunge among teenagers. What's happened is, and they're saying about teenagers, I'm going to stop for 1 second. The teenagers are more concerned about social media and being buried in the cell phone and watching porn
than dating anybody. It's true.
I'm sorry, and I don't mean to be that graphic with you, but it's just the truth. I mean, we've messed up an entire generation. Yeah. The U.S. fertility rate fell slightly in 2025, another record low, extending two decades of declines, according to the federal data released on Tuesday. The fertility rate, the number of births per 1,000 women childbearing age, dropped to 53.1 from 53.8. In other words, we are not reproducing. Our population is continuing to decrease as far as the indigenous population, if you want to say that, for people who've been here the last 100 years. The only thing that's maintaining our population is mass immigration of 20 million people, according to Trump under Biden, through the Darien Gap, which is funded through a bunch of Israeli corporations. I thought I'd mention that again. And so they're destroying the unity of our country by bringing in other countries, basically problem people in many cases. And another thing that has just come out now, and this is interesting, they basically have found a brand new way of birth control for men to stop sperm production. Now, we're going to talk about this for 1 second. I don't really cover this, but this is Daily Mail, and it says, new birth control for men prevents pregnancy. It is safe. You know, I've got to look at you and say, I would never, ever, ever take a product like this. And they're saying that it can be reversed safely and you can start making sperm again because you make like 15 million sperm.
Is it a drug?
It is.
Oh, gosh.
A safe and effective male birth control is edging closer.
Safe and effective, huh?
Scientists had not had the right biological target for safe, reversible male birth control. That's why few options have been made available for human testing. Women shoulder most of the weight of contraception, with half of the women currently using one form of contraception, including pills, implants, intrauterine devices, IUDs. And these methods come with a laundry set of side effects ranging from weight gain and mood changes to blood clots. Now, researchers believe they have zeroed in, they're not even sure yet, they have zeroed in on a brief, specific stage of sperm production where a drug could temporarily completely shut down fertility and for men. And then once everything is stopped, return to normal. Researchers already knew that a JQ1, a drug that blocks a sperm production protein called BRDT, worked as a contraceptive in mice. So now we're going to be the rats. What is new is the detailed evidence showing exactly why and how it works and how the body may hopefully bounce back and precisely where the sperm production of future male pills should target. By mapping out the molecular and genetic recovery in fine detail, the team has created a roadmap for safe, reversible, hormone-free male contraceptive. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to just be real just funny with you guys as far as making a little bit of humor out of this. Men can already do several ways of birth control. There's always abstinence. There's condoms. And then there's always, you know, other types of things that you can do as far as vasectomies, which I do not recommend at all because of the increased risk of prostate cancer with that. And the crazy part about this is it's like this. If you start on testosterone and you take it consistently for years, right, when you basically want to have your testicles start producing testosterone, they may or may not do it again. They may or may not work again. You may be stuck on hormone replacement therapy for the rest of your life. Period. The same thing is true with human growth hormone. If you start taking things that, you know, take human growth hormone, the pituitary glands may stop making it, and you may not be able to recover without taking human growth hormone, and then you have to go on HRTs the rest of your life. They're saying that they can put a person on a hormone-free male contraceptive. They're not saying for long, but I'm assuming for years, if not decades. And suddenly, if the person's 40 years old and they want to have a baby, they stop taking it, and suddenly the sperm starts reproducing again. I say that's hogwash. Because the body always down-regulates everything. So if you're if you're telling your body for two decades not to make sperm, there's a high probability they're ever going to make sperm again.
On top of that, you got to look at the fact that I can guarantee you this. How long has this drug been tested long-term?
No, it's still on rats.
That's my point. Yeah. They're going to do this. They're going to roll it out. The FDA apparently is back on their BS again. They're going and starting to prove everything now. The doggone, I told you, about it yesterday, Blackstone's trying to get this whole flu RNA gene therapy shot from Moderna reapproved.
And remember, the researchers gave male mice an injection of the drug every single day for 3 weeks. After treatment, they measured sperm counts, testicle size, and whether the mice could still father offspring. So, you know, here they're doing a 3-week test telling you that you can be on this stuff for years, if not decades, and you'll be able to have children. Now, the reason I read the first article to you guys that we're at a massive low right now as far as reproduction in the United States, that's the goal of the New World Order. That's what Bill Gates has stated. They don't want you to reproduce. They want you to be basically managed like cattle. Period.
Do you have to have at least, what, 2.1 children?
Mm-hmm. I think it's 2.5.
2.5?
Because you have death.
Just round up to 3.
In other words, you have two people, they have to have 2.5
on average. Yeah.
But that means they have 2.5 kids. That means because one of them may die.
You can't have half a kid. So you got to round up to 3.
Yeah, so you have to have 3 children, period. And that's just to replace you and your wife. Okay, that's it. That's what it's for. That's 2 is for you and your wife, and you have to have another little half percent in there or whatever to maintain the population. And you know, and so after World War Three, I'm subconsciously thinking about that for the other night. After World War Two, you know, our fertility rate was like 5.
Yeah,
and that was due to a lot of Catholics. Man, I had a bunch of Catholics in our neighborhood. Man, they were like mice. Man, they could reproduce.
Five,
six, seven, 8 kids, because the Catholic Church was encouraging that. And so now that's all done now, too. They're not encouraging that any longer. The sad part about all of this is that when you stop reproducing Christians and you stop reproducing people that fear God and follow Jesus, then you end up with a bunch of people that do neither. They don't fear God. They don't follow Jesus. And they're basically the ones that are raising their kids.
Well, then you import a bunch of Jews and a bunch of Muslims in the United States that don't respect Christianity, especially the Jews. They hate Christianity. And then you turn around and tell everybody we need to get along.
Well, the other day I was talking to a neighbor, and he had a friend of his over, and the friend had been drinking.
Yeah.
You know, I drove up, and I had asked the neighbor some questions, and he goes, oh, you're dressed up really nice tonight. Well, I just left Friday evening service for
Good Friday.
Good Friday.
Yeah.
And so I just left church. And he looked at me like a calf at a new gate, like, what do you mean, church?
This is on Good Friday?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was in church last week, Thursday, Friday, yeah, Saturday.
Well, I know
Sunday.
You're in church, but like,
I love it.
He surprised your church on Good Friday?
I mean, I don't think he knew it was Good Friday, bud. I don't think he had any input about any of that stuff. And it's that, he was a really nice guy. He really was.
Well, the bulk of the United States still got pretty irritated on Sunday, though, with that tweet from Trump. So that showed me something.
But he was definitely drinking. And to me, I don't care. If a person's a nice drunk, I don't care, because I was raised in a bar.
Nice drunks you can deal with.
Mean drunks with hypoglycemia, and they want to hit everybody and get in the fights. They're pretty much nuts. Oh, by the way, it's saying that 75% of men globally would be willing to use the sperm. That's a total lie.
I don't think that's accurate at all. Total made-up numbers.
Well, no. So I mean, I'm telling you this. If they tell you, hey, take this product for 10 years and you won't have any kids. Why don't we phrase it? Take this product for 10 years and you'll never have any kids.
Well, here's the issue that also happened with the younger generation, especially in their 20s, is that they're insanely selfish.
Have you noticed that?
Insanely selfish. I mean, every single thing's about what they want to do when they want to do it all the time, especially that generation from about 18 to 25 right now is bizarre. I mean, it's like, what am I posting on social media? Where am I going? Look at me. Everything's about me. I've witnessed this now.
Look at me.
Yeah, look at me. Everywhere I go. And it's like, sometimes just be low-key. You got to be sometimes. But I digress. You can't be selfish and be a good parent.
I talked to a kid the other day, 27 years old, young man, and I asked him, I said, are you ever having any kids? And he goes, no. He said, I'm too selfish. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, I'm like, what? And he goes, no, I don't want to have kids. Yeah. I want to live my life and travel the world and not have children and not to pay for them. I don't want to raise kids.
I've heard that from multitude of people.
And here's the funny part. These are the same people, when they get older, they want to give you advice on how to raise children.
Yeah. Well, my favorite one.
By the way, I have no idea how to raise children. I'm pretty good until about 10, and that's it. I'm down.
My favorite one, though, is then you see them, well, they become in their 80s and 90s. Now there's nobody to help take care of them anymore, and now they're mad at everybody that nobody's catering to them 24/7 and nobody's taking care of them because they're still too stinking selfish to realize they selfished them way out of being taken care of.
And they spend all their money traveling around the world and don't have any money to hire a full-time caregiver.
I hope we can still.
Hopefully, they have.
Speaking of absolutely horrific things that have happened lately, since we'll get this negative one out of the way, and then I'm gonna go to a positive thing here. Lebanon got completely carpet bombed yesterday. They did an operation with 200 fighter jets deployed in 10 minutes, dropped over 100 bombs. They're claiming they're almost 100 dead and 700 wounded. By the way, and I double checked this, I fact checked this, since the Iran war, they have seized more land in Lebanon than Putin has in the entire Ukrainian conflict. More square kilometers.
Well, you got to give the IDF credit. They didn't go to play games. They went to stay late. They wouldn't take the country.
Yeah.
Putin just wanted to play games.
Well, this is what IDF does. They are promised it 3,000 years ago. They think everything everybody else has is theirs.
You know, Chuck Baldwin says it this way. He goes, you know, ancient Israel had their shot. They did.
They
kept sacrificing their children to Baal and the Moloch and the Asherah.
They got.
I mean, killing their own kids. And the Bible tells in Deuteronomy, Moses talking to God, he goes, yeah, these guys, this, here's what's going to happen once you die, Moses.
They got their inheritance.
Mm-hmm. They already did.
They received their inheritance, and they rejected their inheritance. Leave it at that. I'm not going to keep. People send me these stupid emails. I'm not going to keep arguing with you about this.
I had to block somebody again.
Do
yesterday.
Your own research and stop believing everything the Scofield Reference Bible shoved down your throat and all the Zionist pastors keep telling you to give them more money
to
Israel.
And stop following the Talmud.
My God.
Stop following the Talmud.
I've never seen recently so many Christians that want to keep their head in the sand and say, well, no, we've got to keep doing this.
Well,
they got their inheritance. Christ came to redeem everyone. Sinner, saint, Gentile, Jew, everyone. He died for everyone. There is no more selective race. The Jews are not.
Ceasefire.
You have ceasefire? You think Israel listens to a ceasefire? Because they do whatever they want to do.
Trump said yesterday, he said, well, Hezbollah in Lebanon, we're not part of the ceasefire.
Oh, of course not.
Because
of,
yeah.
Remember what I said at the beginning of the conflict? I said this 2 days in the Iran war, as soon as they started going after Lebanon, the day everything happened in Iran, they immediately started launching missiles in Lebanon. And I said, you watch and see if this Iran conflict isn't just shadowy to keep people distracted so they can take over all Lebanon and kill thousands and thousands and thousands. Look at these photos.
Millions, I know.
And here's the problem with some of these videos. These aren't hot combat zones. There's people running around on mopeds and women with kids.
The residential areas.
This isn't, you know, this isn't basically Fallujah. This isn't a cleared hot combat zone where everybody's in the middle of the street with RPGs and machine guns.
You wonder why the Muslims hate the Jews. And you wonder why the Muslims call us the great Satan. This is why right here. I mean, we're allowing it to happen. And now, basically, Iran has said, if you don't stop doing this thing in Lebanon, we're not going to honor the ceasefire.
I saw that, too. They're like, we're done with this.
Yeah.
But he told me last night, the analogy, he said, it's the analogy of like this. You got people in the street. You got a street, right? Neighborhood. And he goes, the one guy in the middle of the street thinks he's superior to everybody else in the street. He believes he's superior to everybody. So he sits there and goes, my neighbor next door, he's going to attack me at some point. I know it. I have intel. So I'm going to throw a frag grenade in his window. So he goes, throws a frag grenade in his neighbor's window. Blows up the whole kitchen. Well, then the neighbor comes out and says, what are you throwing frag grenades in my house for? I mean, what are you bothering me for? Now I'm throwing a frag grenade in your house. Then the guy thinks he's superior. He goes, see, I told you he was going to attack me. I told you he was going to attack me. Now I'm going to Demo's house with C4.
It's a terrible analogy, but it's true.
It's accurate. Good. Now he Demo's house with C4. House is gone. Family's gone. Everybody's gone. Well, then the guy across the street goes, dude, you can't just blow people's houses up. Oh, you're going to attack me too. Throws a frag grenade in his house. Guy throws a frag back. No, see, he's trying to attack me, Demo his house, and he goes and demos the entire street on the pretext that everybody's going to eventually attack him because he keeps attacking everybody.
Well, here's another analogy. You're taking and you're sleeping. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and the person who thinks he's superior runs in, breaks into your house. You defend yourself.
Yeah.
And he's repelled, and now he goes, see, he attacked me.
He shot at me.
He shot at me. Now we're going to demo his house. You think, well, Ted Austin, you guys are being silly. We are?
The concept is right there. So, yeah. So, anyways, other health things. I'm going to go off that. I want to cover that.
Oh, wait, by the way, because you said you want to cover positive stuff.
Yes.
I have a segue.
Okay.
Study finds staying positive may help keep dementia at bay.
In a nutshell. Yeah,
I try to have a positive attitude all the time. Anybody, if all of you who know me, you know that I'm...
We got to deal with some of this stuff on here. Theater as far as with news.
Yeah, but we're trying to be positive.
But we try to...
Because we have victory in Christ. That's how we say positive. Older adults with higher optimism had about a 15% lower risk of developing dementia. The link across racial groups, health conditions, and depression levels. This was an observational study. Researchers say optimism could be a promising target for future prevention strategies. I mean, duh. I mean, if you're negative Nancy, you know, or terrible Tim, and you're thinking to yourself, what am I doing with my life? It's awful, and it's all you ever think about. Guess what? You're going to create the physical reality you think about.
And you're going to keep cortisol elevated.
There's a really good video. I've told you guys to watch it before. It's Napoleon Hill or who is it? It's not Napoleon Hill.
Think and Grow Rich?
No, Think and Grow Rich is Napoleon Hill, but we got a weird chapter on spirit, guys. Just don't do that one. But you know, it's weird. It's just, you shouldn't read that. But it was basically Earl Nightingale, and it's called The Strangest Secret. And the gist of the entire thing is you literally become what you think about. So if all you're doing is negative, 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 guess what? You're going to have a really negative life. If you have positive stuff going on, you're going to have a really positive life. The biggest problem that you have, and this is a problem, listen to me. If you've been negative your whole life, you've been sarcastic, and you've been a negative Nancy, right? And you're always saying negative stuff about everybody all the time. Even if you find yourself in a positive environment, subconsciously, in many cases, you're going to do everything you have to self-sabotage to get back to the negative life because you're programmed that way subconsciously, and that's where your reticulator activator has been told to go. So you have this thing in the bottom of your brainstem that lets you pick up the positive and the negative. So you start focusing on the negative, you create the physical reality of negativity around you, and pretty soon you start saying, why is everybody so negative? It's because you're so negative. So stop being negative and realize that this is the day the Lord hath made. Jesus died on the cross. He said, it is finished. You have victory in Jesus through Calvary. He's an omnipresent being who shed his blood for you to give you an eternal sacrifice for your sin. Think about that. And then you realize, hey, wait a minute. We've got this made. And we got the world by the tail on a downhill drag. We really do. Because we have victory in Christ because death, where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? There is no sting in death any longer because we don't go anywhere but to heaven instantaneously. If people say, well, how do you know it's real? I've had some really good encounters, and so has Austin, and you know, supernatural stuff. We could tell you on the air, but not today. And I'm telling you, heaven's real. Ask Austin. Austin, is heaven real?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. That whole world's real.
Yep.
The whole different world's real. Mm-hmm. Very real.
Very.
And that's one of the reasons why I find that the parable with Jesus, with the sower and the reaper, mm-hmm. I find it so applicable to so many different topics. I've used this reference so many times. He's talking about throwing seed on, you know, thorny ground, dry ground, good ground. And it can be, and I know the analogy a lot of people talk about is basically bringing people to Christ and, you know, talking to people about Christ. And it's also about positive energy. It's also about positive sowing. You know, when you put positive seed out there, even if it's not always going on great ground, but it's positive, you're encouraging somebody, may not do much, but then you throw it on some good ground and you may change somebody's life by the positive, you know, affirmations, positive energy, positive intel. The topics. That's why I'm so big on this show, on trying to give people real world daily applications that you can put on your life every single day and say, hey, you know what? I can do this right now. Because a lot of times it becomes overwhelming sometimes in this weird society that we're in where it's like, what do I start? Where do I start? Well, the one thing you can always start with is your mind. That's the first thing you can change. Your mind, what you speak, what you think about. And secondly, the next thing, what you put in your mouth for food. Stop putting crap in your mouth. Stop putting junk food in your mouth. Stop putting ultra-processed foods in your mouth. Start focusing on good, clean, healthy, energy-producing foods, and you'll be shocked on how much better your body feels.
Well, it's hard to be positive if you're sick as a dog.
Unbelievably, yeah. And your B-complex are depleted, and you're low in omega-3s.
And 5-HTP.
And your serotonin production is through the floor because your gut microbe is shot, and you have no probiotics. I've told you guys so many times, the more we, and this is fairly new to me, I just started realizing this 2 to 3 years ago, is that the gut microbe, the good bacteria, the healthy bacteria in your stomach, the lack of inflammation, the good digestion, those are all key indicators on serotonin and dopamine production and how they tie in with your brain-gut axis. If your stomach's chopped up, if it's inflamed, if it's full of glyphosate, if it's not functioning properly, if you're not absorbing nutrients in your small intestine, your chemical imbalance will not be good. You're going to have serotonin deficiency. Your dopamine is going to be depleted. Then you start throwing in all types of other processed food. Then you start throwing in 12 hours of social media a day. And yeah, you're going to feel pretty stinking low. So look at what you're putting in your body. This is an article that just came up now.
Well, quick comment.
Jump in.
Hey,
pull it up.
Years ago, we had a housekeeper working for us. And after about 6 months, she quit. Gave us notice. And I've told you this story before. And so we asked her, you know, you're a great housekeeper. Why are you leaving? She goes, I'm leaving my boyfriend. And I said, why are you leaving your boyfriend? She goes, you and Sharon have showed me that I don't have to have the kind of relationship that we have. You guys have this incredible marriage. And she goes, I want what you have. And I realized that I can't have that with who I'm with because of the negativity and because of the, yeah. I mean, basically, I think he was being abusive towards
her. It's 100-100, man.
No, it's 100-100. No, I'm going to say this again. And I've said it before because Austin just said it. 50-50 doesn't work. All you do is fight.
Well, no, because, it doesn't work.
Because I want it my way. No, I want it my way.
I did 55% of the work. You've done 45. I'm mad. No.
It's 100-100. No, if you give your wife 100%, she gives you 100%. That means she considers your outcome more important than her outcome.
And vice versa.
And you consider her outcome more important than your outcome. All of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute, this marriage is getting really good. We don't argue anymore because she's... And then what happens, each person starts giving more and more and more. And then suddenly, you become one, and you have this synergistic effect, like 1 + 1 = 100. And all of a sudden, this marriage becomes, like, unbelievable. I mean, all my kids have told me, you know, you and your mom had, like, the best marriage we've ever seen. You know, now, the crazy part about it is that, you know, when you... And I'm going to just stop for 1 second, and I'm going to say this. The hardest part, though, is when somebody dies in a relationship like that. You know, we lost Sharon, you know, 4 years ago. Then what ends up happening is that you got to try to find that again because you know it's possible, and that's very, very frustrating. Now, you got another story here also. What is it?
It's tied into my big rant on food. Another article, research study came out, said growing research shows that people who eat more ultra-processed food face significantly higher risk and early death.
Well, I mean, we obviously...
That's what and I know for all my long-term listeners, I know I feel like I'm being redundant to you guys right now, and I kind of am. But I'm doing it because, A, we're getting so many new listeners on a regular basis, and people want to forward out snippets. I've got a lot of people that want to cut up little pieces of the show and take health parts out that are minute long, 2 minute long, 3 minute long, and that's cool, fine, I don't care. Go do it. Send it out there. As long as it helps people, I don't care. And it goes into detail here. It says, even big food can't ignore the science. Ultra-processed food is killing us. Big food has spent years trying to defend its position to use these ingredients and has basically plowed through vast sums of research and marketing to justify their position. The position is becoming almost impossible to defend. It says, we aim to show in this article using some of those prominent systematic reviews and meta-analysis published in mainstream scientific journals. You will find that we are being killed by this food if we allow ourselves to eat it. It says there's even these critiques acknowledge a consistent pattern. High ultra-processed food consumption tracks with worse health outcomes and poor overall diet control quality and earlier death. What has changed in the last couple of years is the strength, consistency, and mechanism depth of evidence. It says a pivotal shift came at the end of 2025. Highly influential peer-reviewed journal, The Lancet, published an article in Monterey along with 12 linked articles in its opening series. Colleagues from the University of Brazil set out three biologically plausible mechanisms by UPVs drive harm. Ultra-processed food, UPVs, when I say that. It says disruption of appetite regulation leads to overconsumption. This is huge. High fructose corn syrup increases ghrelin production in the body on purpose. So when you eat large amounts of food, high fructose corn syrup, you don't get full. You don't get full. You'll eat, and you ever wonder why you'll eat some junk food sometimes, you'll eat it, and it's like 1,000 calories, and you're not full. You feel like, oh, I want more munchies. So you eat more munchies. You eat more munchies. Then all of a sudden, you're 2,000, 3,000 calories in. You feel physically ill. You're like, oh my gosh, I feel horrible. But you're still hungry. That's why. Leads to overconsumption. Second one. Yeah. And the ghrelin doesn't stop being produced. Ghrelin is a hunger hormone in your stomach. When high fructose corn syrup keeps being added to your system and ghrelin keeps being produced, you can be as full as a walrus, but you still feel hungry. Direct biological effects of additives, altered food structures, the production of harmful byproducts. These additives cause enormous amount of inflammation in the gut. This dysregulates the entire gut-brain axis. It's designed to do this. I've noticed the cleaner that I eat and the more I stay on top of supplementation, my brain's sharper, my mood's much better. I'm less prone to being agitated at certain things, and I don't get as basically short of a fuse. Now, if I'm really
hungry, that's a good thing.
It is. It's a good thing. Nobody likes another short fuse. When you eat a bunch of processed foods, which I've done before, you're not getting enough sleep, your gut's messed up, you'll notice you're more irritable. You're just prone to be more irritable.
Not you, Austin.
Oh, just your halo.
I have no halo. I have no halo.
I'm not even at you right now. And third one on here, systematic displacement of health-promoting, minimally processed, protective foods. What that's saying is here, the more ultra-processed foods you eat, naturally, you stop eating more productive foods, energy-producing foods that are cleaner, minimally processed. Because what happens is your body keeps craving the ultra-processed foods, the specific amounts of sugar with fats, with MSG. It's all designed to be a chemical concoction equation that keeps you hooked on this food, which makes you crave anything relatively healthy, much less. So again, these are things that you've got to look at on here. It says the epidemiology is now overwhelming. Higher UPF intake was associated with increased risk of obesity, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and all-cause mortality. All-cause. Meaning it doesn't matter what the disease is. Ultra-processed foods dramatically increase it. Associations persisted across populations of all and study designs.
That's why I just made a shake that I don't have a shaker or a stirrer for. That basically is distilled water.
Purple stick left.
I have vanilla protein in it. Yep. I've got GHI cleanse in it. I have a purple stick in it. And I have collagen in it. And it actually tastes pretty good.
The thing that's funny.
It's definitely the healthy way to eat.
I think everybody finally realizes I don't drink these for the show. Neither does he. I don't get on the show and be like, I'm gonna drink a purple stick.
I drink these all the time.
I'm gonna drink a Fit Food because I'm on the show. We use it all the time. I had a young kid. He's in his early 20s. I've known him since he was young.
Oh, by the way, behind Austin and behind me are all these boxes of purple sticks. They're pretty much all empty.
I thought you were about to say there's an owl behind me again.
No, they're almost there. No, they're all. And all those containers of all that stuff up there, we've used them. They're pretty much all empty. They're all empty. They're all empty. We've used them all.
Yeah, that's why I kind of fixed that one for a fall. Let Rich do it. He's about to fall back. I had a kid yesterday. I've known him for years, local kid. Basically, he's working all the time now. He's wanting to put on some weight. And I told him, I said, come by. We'll do a little gym session, work out with him a little bit. I put him on some Fit Food. I put him on collagen. That's his post-workout regimen. So he wanted to keep it real tight. He didn't want to spend a lot of money. I said, that's fine. I put him on the creatine capsules we have, which work great. And I put him on the Ultimate Multiple Powder for the day. And then the collagen and the Fit Food at night post-workout. Real simple stat. Real simple. Multiple, creatine, Fit Food, collagen. Because I told him, I said, A, you got to run the collagen with a Fit Food after workout. That is the most anabolic stack you can throw in now from what I've been researching. The collagen and Fit Food whey protein, New Zealand whey, whey protein and collagen have like a synergistic effect when you take them together post-workout. Because the body needs and has to basically increase protein synthesis. It has to increase nitrogen retention. And that does it so well because it's not just giving you protein, it's giving you the collagen formula. It's got three different collagens in it that helps repair the tissue, the tendons, the ligaments. I had a back workout with him yesterday.
Oh, I saw. I walked in on it.
I haven't worked out hard like I used to work
you
out.
You must
like,
be seriously sore.
I dabble. I am hurting today.
Well, no, I couldn't work out until later yesterday.
Oh.
I usually work out at 11. We couldn't do it. We had to work out at 6. And so I walked in there with my workout partner, Van, former NFL great, Van Green. You can look him up. Played for Cleveland and played for Buffalo back in the 70s. And we walked in, and they're screaming in the gym. It was frightening is what it was. And I felt like I was
in nobody's in there. It was just me and him.
Oh, frightening. And there's people screaming and yelling.
Every major exercise was one final set. I love Dorian Yates' training. I followed it for years. I can just doing Dorian Yates' training for like 4 weeks, I will blow up. The problem is all you want to do is eat all the time when you go on it.
Well, you go to failure.
I'm sore 24/7. And what happens is you do like three – every major exercise is only three working sets. That's it. You got one warm-up, it's a pump set. Second one's extremely intense, about 80%. And the third set is complete failure with forced reps at the end.
Hence the screaming.
It's rough. No, it hurts.
The ground is shaking. I hear the screaming of the door.
I wouldn't normally do that in a public gym, but I mean,
we have a gym in our house.
We got a couple pieces of equipment in there, and we were just absolutely just going hammer. And I haven't trained back in a while.
Were you really using 200 pounds on lat rows?
Yeah, dude. That wasn't even heavy. That was heavy for me yesterday.
Did you ever use 300 on that?
I used a little stack.
I used to use a little stack when I was younger.
I'm not doing the whole stack right now. Boy, I'm hurting. I've been doing more volume training, conditioning, and endurance training.
I thought, pity the poor man working out with Austin.
Yeah, he did okay.
Unbelievable. Yeah, but today, boy, he is.
Oh, he texts me up. He's like, dude, I can't get out of bed.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. He's like, well, he told me, I asked him, I said, where do you want to go with this today? He's like, he's 24. He's going on a beach trip. He goes, I want to get big. I said, how big you want to get? I said, because you're just all natural with me with this. You're doing creatine. You're doing Fit Food. You're not taking any crap. He goes, I want to get big. I said, that means you're going to have to train like an animal. He goes, I could do it. I said, how far intensity? He goes, I want it all. And I said, I can't even give it all today, bud. I said, if I give it all today, I'm not going to be able to move. I said, I'll give you the best I got. And we got done. He's like, I've never trained like that. I said, but that was like 60, 70%. I said, wait till I'm warmed up.
That all goes back to Jim Jones, Art Jones. Back to the Nautilus training back in the 70s to fill failure. A lot of guys picked it up and refined it.
It will make you insanely strong.
It'll make you insanely big.
Yes.
I saw it myself. And the crazy part about it is that it's fast.
We did back, buys, and forearms, and I think we were out in 36 minutes.
Yeah, and Van and I went in there and did chest and arms,
yeah.
And we were out in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I learned this from Boyer Coe. He said, your workouts can't be more than 20 or 30 minutes. You can't handle the cortisol.
Well, you can push them a little bit higher when you're younger, but not much. Mm-hmm. I try to 45 minutes, 50 minutes is max. The thing is, if anybody tells you they're training Dorian Yates full failure and they're in there for 2 to 3 hours, mm-hmm. They're lying. I don't know anybody that can train like that.
Or they're confused.
Or they're wasting time. They're saying they're doing it, but they're stretching their workout and they're playing on their phone. Mm-hmm. If you do straight 40 to 50 minutes like that of complete and utter failure without breaks, you can't. You're done. Your central nervous system's too tapped. You have to calm down and go do another workout.
I built my chest up all natural, no drugs, about 50 inches. And my waist about 33, 34, down to 32.
Yeah.
I trimmed up. And I was huge. Yeah, giant. I was all natural, and my chest workout was 12 minutes twice a week.
Yeah.
That's it. Lats were like 15 minutes twice a week, and I've got those on the DVDs that we have as far as exercise, but nobody has a DVD player anymore, so they don't matter anymore. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, guys, this is more training if you're younger and you want to get.
Oh big, yeah,
but I mean, if even just getting in and exercising and moving around and picking up some resistance training, even if you got to go to like I tell people all the time, go on Craigslist, go buy a bench. And go buy a couple sets of dumbbells that are in your weight range. A bench. Bench and dumbbells. And I can run through every single body part with those two things.
Well, on my beginning and intermediate exercise training for men on my DVDs, it was just all with dumbbells and a bench. That's
that
was it, all
man.
It was.
That's, you can do, that's all you got. You can fit. Everybody can fit a bench and a dumbbell in their garage or their house somewhere, pretty much on their back porch.
They can.
Yeah.
Maybe, and it makes it pretty simple. You know, now the gym we have here is a little bit more extensive than that because that was a goal that I had. But the reality is I've taken good care of it. And it's been over 30 years. And so it's just, I told the guy who was working out with us, I said, how do you like Austin's home gym? He goes, it's really nice. And it's just,
It took us 3 decades.
Well, but it served us for 3 years, of 30 years. And what I would do is I would fly coach when I was doing the seminars. I'm going to tell you what I did. And I would save enough money to buy a piece of equipment. So I bought some several pieces of equipment because the first class and business class tickets are so expensive if you don't have points. And I don't like wasting money like that.
Oh,
but that's how we do it.
Have you looked at flights now?
Woo-wee.
Boy, that fuel, boy, it hit that jet fuel hit these planes.
I had a friend had to fly back to Munich. And it's usually a $600 or $700 trip, right? For one way. It was $2,100.
I figured $1,500. I was off. Oh, yeah. No, I had somebody else who was wanting to come down and visit Florida. And they were going to fly down. It was like a basic flight, hour flight. It's like $600. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
well, the airline stopped hedging fuel prices, and that's a real problem right now.
Yeah.
It really, really is.
And here's a couple things.
Oh, by the way, Europe started energy rationing, too.
I saw that. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is. It says, Europe is now removing any doubt about the seriousness of this crisis with Iran. It is a crisis, by the way. This is not a war. This is ridiculous. We're doing this for Israel because governments do not tell millions of people to stay home from work unless there's a genuine shortage forming beneath the surface. Yep. The European Union has begun urging citizens to work from home again like they did at COVID. Remember, we told you guys there'd be another lockdown.
Told you
that a month ago.
Energy,
drive less and reduce speed limits and cut overall energy consumption as part of an emergency response to the shock created by the Iran war of Israel and America attacking, Iran for no reason. Language coming out of the officials makes it clear this is not temporary. European authorities are warning of a very serious situation with no immediate end in sight, and that is consistent with what we are seeing globally as the closure of the Strait of Hormuz has disrupted one of the most critical energy arteries of the world, roughly 20% of the global oil. And again,
they're getting a million per ship in Bitcoin now to let anybody through. They got a toll booth.
Well, what's happening is it's starting to fracture the petrodollar, and I warned you guys this is going to happen. Because people are moving away from the petrodollar,
they're
selling
actually paying
treasuries.
They're actually paying Bitcoin. I read this today, and this isn't a push on crypto because I don't care for crypto and a lot of stuff though. But this is why Bitcoin went through the roof yesterday.
Did it go through?
Yeah,
because they're paying.
They said basically we'll prove you come through our toll, Iran, and we need a million in Bitcoin on demand. Transferred immediately with a blockchain, and they said we don't want it seized or sanctioned. They said anything we get in U.S. dollars will immediately be seized by the United States or Israel because that's just what they do. We want crypto, and now they're talking about other cryptos basically to get payment on. That for the guys that you guys are in the Bitcoin market, great for y'all. Gold and silver still go through the roof today. You can see that. Why? Because everybody's starting to step away from what you just said, the petrodollar, the U.S. dollar. Everybody realizes this is not a good look for the United States. This is a bad look. And then you got Israel over here that's going, well, we don't have to abide by anything. We're just going to keep airstrikes on on Lebanon and
whatever.
Yeah.
By the way, in Charlotte a couple of years ago, that guy came up behind that girl from Ukraine and cut her throat. Remember that? Not fit for trial. So he's been arrested so many times, and now they're saying he's basically schizophrenic and that he's not going to go to trial, and the charges will probably be dismissed. So this dude who basically kills this innocent girl on a trolley, on a train.
Cuts her throat, dude. I'm not going to get in the graphic video. You guys already saw it.
But I mean,
comes up behind her.
Yeah.
Behind her while she's
and
on she'd
been
her
a,
phone.
He'd been arrested over and over and over. And those idiots up in North Carolina couldn't keep the guy behind bars. But now they've got some very good policies. They've changed now because of the laws that were passed for her because of her law. And now they're making some choices and they're giving the ability to the Supreme Court there to remove magistrates from the bench.
If they do this crap, they keep letting people out repeatedly.
Yeah. They said they're not going to keep doing it.
Well, the guy had been arrested, 23 times or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, half his life he's been incarcerated. It reached a certain point in time. Mm-hmm. Also, too, this is interesting. I'm curious how this is going to roll out because, man, they let this girl they let her out to the wolves. They said Democrats are now threatened contempt for Bondi if she doesn't testify in the Epstein probe.
She'll testify. She's going to just plead the fifth.
She's going to have to plead the fifth.
She's going to go to jail, bud.
She, there's no way. She, this whole thing, they set her up, in my opinion, with this.
National security in the fifth. That's what she'll say.
Yeah. The more I've watched this now, this was all about having somebody's scapegoat with the Epstein file. So when this happened, this is the contingency plan. We have basically the AG, cut her loose. We don't know why she did it. Not our problem. She's gone rogue. You know, you guys go basically investigate her now. We have nothing to do with the Epstein files.
And then she did. And I'm not saying this happened, but suddenly she's in the Trump limo with no recording.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, don't worry. I'll make sure I pardon you.
Yeah.
By the way, a couple more things from the law in basically what happened here in North Carolina. They're now removing cashless bail for certain offenses, defining a category of violent offenses which a judge or magistrate would be required to impose conditions of pretrial release, such as GPS monitoring, including arson and murder, establishing a protocol requiring court officials to order mental health evaluations, requiring appeals against death sentence be heard by the end of 2027, giving the North Carolina Chief Justice the ability to suspend judges and magistrates,
good,
establishing that the victim using public transportation at the time of the crime as an aggravating factor when seeking the death penalty. But they can't get the death penalty because, remember, he's incompetent. Directing the North Carolina Department of Adult Correction to identify another means of carrying out death sentence if lethal injection was declared unconstitutional, and providing a funding for 10 new assistant district attorneys and 5 new legal assistants in Mecklenburg County where this happened. This is a major deal. They passed some real, this is all on Wikipedia. I'll post this for you guys. But the sad part about this is I don't know what to do with this guy, because now he's going to be out probably again within a few years doing his little thing.
Well,
again.
they're probably gonna put him in an insane asylum. But the problem is, the insane asylum is probably gonna end up having some point if he doesn't have any bad behavior in there
while he's on
so many drugs. They're gonna eventually release him back out to the general public.
That's right.
They can't hold him in there forever. In most cases, mm-hmm. If you're not having any problems, they give him like 20 drugs a day. Finally, go, well, what do we do with him? Because he's not going to trial. He's not gonna be convicted of murder. He's not gonna be convicted.
They said a charge to be dropped.
God's insane. But then you got other people that, you know, they want to spend months and months and months sending people to jail for arbitrary things now with no victim.
I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say, but I'm going to say it anyhow. And doggone it, it's just the truth. Where in the heck were the men on this doggone train?
That's a fact.
And this guy jumps up, starts screaming stuff, rings out a big gun. Why didn't somebody take their concealed weapon and
blade,
put about 4 rounds through his head or through his chest and be done with him? I mean, why in the world is this guy going to be let out again? And I'm sorry if he's mentally ill. He doesn't have the right to kill people. And if he's in the act of killing someone, it's like that guy on that subway who basically choked that other guy out.
Marine.
Who says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill everybody. And all of a sudden, the guy grabs him, chokes him out, and all of a sudden, he's charged with murder up in New York.
2 years of his life gone in and out of trial. They tried him with second-degree murder, not manslaughter. Then they dropped it to manslaughter, and then it finally got dismissed.
I would be so respectful.
That's where all the men are.
No.
They've intentionally gone in now with the mainstream media and made people believe you don't have a right to defend yourself.
That's right.
What they've done. You do not have a right to defend yourself. You need to sit there and get your throat cut from somebody from behind, and we're going to do nothing about it.
In these liberal cities, they tell these women if they're being raped.
Yeah.
Now, listen to me. Just urinate on yourself. Make it disgusting for the guys who he'll stop. They don't tell him to shoot the guy, this recidivism maggot that basically keeps doing this over and over again. And so when these people do stuff like this, this guy's been arrested multiple times for like armed robbery and other battery and everything else. Where have the men gone? Now, I'm not saying because he's mentally ill that you should kill him for being mentally ill. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if he's going to run around and start killing people, he's got to be stopped.
What I don't understand with this is how they're saying that he's not even fit for trial, even if he's mentally ill.
How was he tried in all those other cases?
That's my point. That's where I'm going at, as far as basically where's the precedent set. He's got a rap sheet that's a mile long, they said,
for
armed robbery, for all these different things. So how was he able to get tried and all these other things, get convicted, go to jail, go to prison, get out, but now suddenly he murders somebody, first-degree murder, zero threat.
I don't know if he's smart enough to play that dumb.
Yeah.
But he may be that dumb. I mean, he may actually be smart enough to say, just answer the questions like a moron. And they'll think, well, the guy's obviously incompetent.
I'm pretty frustrated with it.
No.
Like you said, it would have done the society a whole lot better if there had been somebody on there carrying a 43.
If you had a male, male.
But I mean, because the problem is when you have
or ladies, listen to me. If you got a gun and you're an alpha female and you would have seen it and you'd have shot him.
Oh, I
kudos
some
to you
females
too.
That are some solid shots.
Yeah,
there's a few of them. I mean,
and now this lady gets her throat cut, almost gets herself decapitated. By the way, and this guy just says, oh well, we can't try him now, even though he's been tried 20 times.
Yeah.
Figure that one out.
Anyways, I'm going to digress. Go back to more. You were talking about dementia earlier. They said now B12, powerful antioxidant that helps combat dementia. new study that came out here. It says they've expected dementia to triple globally by 2050, according to a study published in The Lancet. However, emerging research suggests a simple remedy may help stop the brakes on the disease's progression. This vitamin B12 required for healthy brain and nerve function is showing promise against neurodegenerative conditions. I like that. Vitamin B12, a superhero in neurology. It says B12 and folate are required for DNA synthesis. They're essential to the function of the cells, including neurons. I tell you about this all the time. Vitamin B12 is also needed to synthesize neurotransmitters, chemicals that transmit signals between nerve cells. Specifically, B12 is involved in the production of serotonin and dopamine, lower levels of which have been linked to dementia. I said, while vitamin C and E are well-known antioxidants, research suggests that vitamin B12 is also a potent antioxidant that reduces oxidative stress. Oxidative stress triggers inflammation to repair damage, but sustained inflammation can contribute to a number of diseases, including Alzheimer's disease, dementia. They said Alzheimer's disease, which accounts for 60 to 70% of dementia cases, neurons die throughout the brain, connections break down, and the brain region shrinks. So what happens is B12 is very interesting compared to other vitamins because it not only has antioxidant properties, it disrupts Alzheimer's disease pathways. The author wrote, knowing the B12's potential neuroprotective role, researchers have studied the efficacy in slowing dementia, and the observational studies have found low B12 levels were associated with faster cognitive decline and higher Alzheimer's disease, meaning make sure you're getting high-quality B12, methylcobalamin B12. I did an entire segment yesterday on cyanide cobalamin B12.
Everybody needs to hear that segment.
Toxic. Don't use it. Your body has to try to convert it into methylated B12. You end up getting about a 30% conversion rate, if best. Not only that, you poison your liver long-term. You're dealing with a cyanide molecule that breaks off. Your body's got to dispose of that and get that toxic sludge out. Get high-quality methylcobalamin B12. That is a huge, huge aspect. Now, I'll post this article on the website, but this is something you really, really got to look at, especially if you're looking at overall health, mental health, energy, and also, too, keeping in a better mood sometimes. B12 will help out with that.
I think I may take 10 on the show tomorrow. We got to bring them
again.
Yeah, I'll do this. You guys got a lot of emails from that one. I really did this.
People didn't believe it at first. They asked me. I'm like, no, he took 10 of them. I mean, it was a lot of B12.
Oh, by the way, Christy Noem's controversial $70 million 737 luxury jet that was basically supposed to be used for deportations has been repurposed now for Molina's personal use.
Must be nice.
You know.
Must be nice to get private jets on taxpayer dollars.
Apparently there's more than one bedroom in there, and so they're repurposing one of the bedrooms now to have seats to help deportations. This is such nonsense. Nobody's getting deported on a 737 luxury jet with all kinds of special things. They got all kinds of, there's pictures of it.
Even if it was a okay, so say it was.
They got couches and chairs and all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, right. Say it was a deportation plane, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means it's stripped.
It ain't straight.
That means it's got basically basic seating in it, probably on the sides.
No.
Like, you know, C-130 military transporter. Do you know how expensive it is to repurpose a 737 and take it from a transport plane to take it to a luxury airliner? Millions upon millions of dollars.
You know,
just for the furniture, not even anything else.
Years ago, Austin and I got to ride on a Gulfstream 150.
This is a funny story.
And the guy had a DVD player.
Yeah.
In there. And it was like wired in, and the wires are hanging out. And I said to him, I said, what's up with this DVD player? It's kind of wired in. He goes, oh, it's just like a, you know, $89 DVD player.
Yeah.
And we got to watch a movie. I said, well, why is it wired in that way? He goes, oh, because it's not FDA approved.
Yeah.
Not FDA. FAA, Federal Aviation Administration approved. It has to be a special type of compound, special type of disaster. Well, how much is a DVD player for this jet that basically, if you get it one approved, it's about $5,000.
$5,000.
He says, we're not going to pay that for a DVD player that you can buy for $100. We just wired this one in ourselves. And I'm like, whoa.
They strapped it all down. It worked fine.
It worked fine. I mean, the crazy part about it, see, the leather has to be a certain combination so it doesn't burn.
Right.
Everything in there has to be a special way. I mean,
that's why I said, just the furniture, couches going over there, it's millions of dollars in a 737.
Well, no, I had to put a prop on a 210, right? And I thought it'd be, you know, $4,000 or $5,000. It was like $14,000. I'm like, what the heck's wrong with this prop? This is nuts.
That's why I said it must be nice to be able to get repurposed.
And one of my prop blades on my prior prop that worked fine was 1/32nd of 1 inch too narrow because it had been filed down a couple times. And I had to replace the entire prop on this plane for an annual inspection. And I thought, this is ridiculous. They are so specific on what you can and can't use on these luxury aircraft that that's why it's so stinking expensive. Plus, these manufacturers that make these products gouge everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you didn't.
Well, because once you get FAA-approved products that you're manufacturing,
you just gouge.
You put whatever number you want on it because you can't buy it anywhere except approved.
Got a friend who's got a Citation III, had it painted. Just painted the plane, right? $250,000. He had to have the landing gear inspected with, you know, where they had to do an eddy current test on it, see if it had any cracks in after, you know, I think after 10,000 hours. And just the eddy current test, there was nothing wrong with the landing gear. It took him about a day to do it. Was $250,000 in labor alone. You think, what are you kidding? I'm not joking. That's why it's so stinking expensive to fly private, because the FAA has done this. They've done this to the people. There's no reason to have these types of costs. But once you get into the airline industry and you start selling parts for these planes, you make a fortune. You really do. It's crazy what they charge.
That's what irritates me, though, when you see all this stuff. When you have, like, you know, Pelosi, who just her liquor bill on her private jets from Cali to D.C. was like $50,000 just in liquor, not to mention millions of dollars in fuel and airline expenses.
Well, you
got to
remember,
jets.
You know, it takes a lot of money when you're an alcoholic to stay drunk all the time.
Yeah, liver shot.
Yeah, you got drinking and drinking and drinking. And but at least that mummy's gone now. That was all believable.
Mummy, that was being kind.
Hideous
to her.
Woman.
Yeah. So, you guys, be sure to check out the site. I don't have the screen on here. B12 on sale product of the week. You voted it won. And also, be sure to stay up to date on the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. That's thebrewershow.com. You can download the MP3s at the top. You can pull up the news section here. If you want to see all the articles we talk about every single day, those are posted. You click on the podcast. We've got everything you need here to stay updated on your health and world news, giving it to you basically shotgun style, as fast as you can get it out, as quick as we can get it out, and as accurate as we can get it out. I don't know if that's the best analogy with a shotgun, but depends on the close range. Right load,
close,
the right range.
Close combat. By the way, before we run out of time, ketamine queen. Jasveen Sangha has been sentenced to 15 years behind bars for Matthew Perry's drug death.
Woo! Was I'm she overprescribing him?
I don't know what she did. I think she was doing it illegally, but I don't know. But she's got 15 years in jail now. Saying when a U.S. dual British citizen appeared at Edward B. Robile Federal Courtroom in Los Angeles and was slammed by the actor's stepmom, Debbie Perry, as a heartless woman, in a victim impact statement of pain by the U.S. son ahead of the sentencing, Debbie urged a judge to impose maximum sentence on Sangha. Prosecutors asking for 15 years behind bar. The pain you've caused of maybe hundreds, if not thousands of people is irreversible, Debbie says with her documents. There's no joy, no light found in our window. They won't be back. The thought that comes in our day, every day, no escape. You call this. You who has a talent for, I'm like, you can read the whole thing on this, but she just goes, she's on a real rant.
Ketamine therapy, I have read, can be very effective with certain individuals, PTSD, but that it has to be a very, very controlled, specific therapy. You can't just be giving people enormous doses of ketamine.
That's
going to
kill Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
If Fleming, who obtained the ketamine from Sangha and passed it to Perry's personal assistant, later pleaded guilty to conspiracy to distribute ketamine, resulting in the death and faces years in prison also. Sangha operated out of her North Hollywood home, which authorities dubbed the Sangha Stash House, after federal authorities uncovered a large cache of drugs during the raid. The haul included scores of ketamine, vials, crystal meth, cocaine, Xanax, and a handgun.
Jeez.
Kind of a mixture, isn't it? An autopsy for Perry died of acute effects of ketamine and drowning, with toxicology reports indicating multiple doses in the period leading up to his death. Sangha faulted her jet-set lifestyle on social media. That wasn't real bright of her. Posting pictures from parties and celebrities and lavish vacations and designer clothing. Just days after Perry's death, she flew to Tokyo, staying in the luxury $1,400 a night Mandarin Hotel there. Saying was first arrested in March of 2024 on drug charges. But you guys can read the whole thing. It's just sad that people are out there killing people with drugs like this and doing other types of drugs, and they turn around and they live a lavish lifestyle, which they then promote on social media.
Yeah.
And they make everybody else think that they're doing this stuff legally.
Well, no, that's the thing, man. There's very, very, very low dose therapy with that. I've talked to people that use it.
It has to be by a physician.
It's by a physician. And I've heard it's good results with PTSD with a lot of guys I know in combat.
I've heard
that
too.
Told me about it. However, ketamine's a horse tranquilizer. It's unbelievably dangerous in high doses. Do not use it unless it is under a supervised doctor that's using it with you on there.
You will stop breathing.
Yes, it will kill you. That's not something to go start, I'm just going to start high dosing, you know, ketamine. So we'll see what happens. You'll see what happens in about 5 to 10 seconds.
Well, you'll wake up in heaven. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully heaven. Hopefully heaven. You're saved. So
just side note
on that, guys. And so be sure if you need anything, check out the products of the week and also to the best sellers we have. And yeah, cleanest, highest quality supplements on the market. Let us know if you need anything. Purple sticks in a can, they're there. And then collagen, man. You guys are stacking up on it. I don't blame you. I was running it last night after the show.
I just had it a second ago.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your supplements from us. And
yes,
thank you for praying for us. Keep your hearts and minds in Jesus all the days of your life. And remember, He's the author, He's the finisher, He's the perfecter of our faith, and we do all things through Him, including keeping a positive attitude. I love you guys, and we will talk to you guys again tomorrow.
Have a blessed evening, my friends. Talk to you tomorrow.